Give you time to find it. And once you find Hosea 14, I want you to hold your place there and go back to Proverbs 14. It's a beautiful morning to be in church. We miss a lot of folks today. I hope people don't have COVID. I tell you what, it's a popular sickness right now all over the world. This morning in Proverbs 14 and verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider. Now let's go back over to Hosea 14 and look at verse 4. God said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. There's two places in the Bible backsliding is mentioned. I don't know where I've ever talked on that subject or no, but we're going to talk about backsliding today. From the Bible's point of view, a backslider is someone that's not as devoted to the Lord as they once were. Now think about each of us. Are we as close to the Lord as we have been in the past? Or have we backslid? Are you as close to the Lord as you've been before? Or has something caused you to drift away? You know, unconfessed sin between the believer and God steals the peace and the joy of the Lord. The question with many people when this happens to someone, are they still saved when they backslide? We've got some churches think you lose your salvation when you backslide. I've often heard people say they had backslid. Used to, I collected insurance, and I'd be out in the public a lot. I'd talk about the Lord with, oh, I backslid. I got to get saved again. I've heard that so much. There are many people who think that a backslider has lost their salvation. They got to go to church. They got to get saved again. Folks, we're going to talk about this today. Our Sunday school lesson today, we had two priests that God slew. Were they lost? Or were they saved? Well, apparently God let them be priests because they were saved. Amen. So sometimes the circumstances or the appearance is not always what you might think it is. That's why you can't judge people, are they saved or not saved. Because Christian people can live just as, I don't know what word to use, as unsaved people. There's some good moral people out there, folks. Just better in their moral living than some Christians, or they say they're Christians. Those who hold to this position believe a person is then saved by their works or the way they live. There's a lot of people think, you know, if I hold out and hold on, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to destroy that theory in just a few minutes. You're not saved by anything you do. Amen. Amen. You can't think of a thing you can do to get saved and stay saved. And yet, people are being taught differently today, everywhere. Salvation, the Bible says, is of the Lord, church. It's not of us. If it was of us, the Lord wouldn't have had to die. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, and your Bible's already had this verse marked because it's such an important verse. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Even your faith to believe is a gift from God. It's not of any work you do that you're saved. In fact, for by grace you're saved, the word grace means we didn't deserve to be saved. That'll kind of take away our pride, won't it? None of us deserve being saved. We're all sinners. And we don't want to change, seem like. We just like being ourselves, don't we? But God sent His Son to change us, to make us a new person. To make us a new person. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Your salvation is a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to get it. But God gave it to us. It's not of works, He says very plainly. Lest any man should boast. You see, if you did something that caused you to be saved, you could go before God and boast about that. But God says you can't do that. Your salvation is not of any works, not of any righteousness of our own. People have a difficult time believing what the Bible says. Do y'all know that? They just have an awful time believing what the Bible says. Hey, let me tell you something about the Bible. It means what it says, and it says what it means. Let me tell you that. What did I just read to you from God's Word? I read to you, for by grace you are saved. By grace. You don't deserve to be, but you're saved. By faith in Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest a person should boast. The psalmist said in 27:1-2, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my salvation. Salvation is not a plan, church. Salvation is a person. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus Christ is my salvation. He's my Savior. And He alone. He alone. Whom shall I fear? He is the strength of my life, the psalmist said. Of whom should I be afraid? In Romans 1:16, the apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and the Greek. Salvation is by the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. You're not saved, can't be saved any other way. And the gospel is about a person, the Son of God, as the Lamb of God, that died on a cross for the sins of all the world, that whoever would believe in Him could be saved. Believe, not do. Not do, but believe in Him. Put your faith in Him, your trust in Him. Turn your life over to Him. It's got to reach down into your heart and not just your head. The way you live is not the way one is saved or stays saved. Did you know that? The way you live is not the way one is saved or stays saved. For you to hold out or to hold on is not salvation, as many churches teach. You're saved by the grace of God. And it's a gift. And it's not retractable. How about that? He don't take it back. Aren't you glad God won't take away your salvation that He gave you? We're going to get deeper into this in a minute. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to put time in this book, learning what it says and listening to who's speaking. Who's it speaking to? What is his subject? You got to put it in the right context, in other words. Look again at this verse I just shared with you from Ephesians. Because for by grace you are saved. I know I'm repeating, but I'm doing it on purpose. For by grace you're saved. Didn't deserve to be saved, but you're saved. Boy, that's good, isn't it? I didn't deserve to be saved, but I'm saved. Wow. That God would save me. Has it ever really, look up here at me, every one of you. Has it really ever dawned on you that you're saved and one day you're going to literally be in heaven? Has it really dawned on you? Think about it. I'm not talking to you here at the church today about a hope-so something. I'm talking to y'all about a know-so something. Because this is what the book says. And the preacher believes the book. Amen? We're all saved by God the same way, every single one of us. You didn't get saved any other way from anybody else. You ain't no more I know that ain't good English, but I like to talk like that. You ain't no more saved than nobody else. If you're saved, you can't even get unsaved. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, for by grace you're saved through faith. And you've been given eternal life. Now let me tell you something about God. God loves you so much, if he ever gets you, he ain't going to let you go. Amen? Amen? We were maybe unruly little youngers around mama's house, but she wouldn't let nobody else have us. Amen? Amen. God is only saving sinners. Listen to this. Listen carefully. God is only saving sinners who know they are a sinner. If you don't know you're a sinner, you'll never be saved. Now, that's the truth. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you'll never make God's heaven. A person who will not admit they are a sinner can't be saved. Consider what the Bible says when a person is saved. Now, you need to cock up your ears. You might even want to write these scriptures down because they're that important when you're saved. When a sinner is saved, they are born again. 1 Peter 1:23. You're born again. And we know that means you're become a new person. The Bible says their name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life when you get saved. Revelation 21:27. Your name is wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That means you're going to go to heaven one day because your name is already enrolled there. When you're saved, you're forgiven of all your sins. All of them. Not some of them. And that's in 1 John 1:9. That's important. Colossians 3:10 said we're made a new person there. Although we're born again, as I've mentioned, we are made a new person entirely because we're in Christ now. We're in Christ. We're a new person. We don't have any sin charged to us anymore. Did you know God's not charging any sin to you as a saved person? The Bible says that in John 1:12, that now that we're saved, we are a child of God, or a son or a daughter of God now that we're saved. We're one of His children. And we're His children eternally. John 10:28 says, when you're saved, you're given eternal life. Eternal life. That means, did you know that means you're going to live forever with the Lord? Do you ever just wonder about how long is forever? I can tell you, it's forever. Amen? Amen? Yeah, forever is forever. No end. Oh, listen, you ever went on vacation for a week? Oh, you're so excited. I got a week's vacation. And then about Thursday, tomorrow, we got to pack up. We got to go back home. Got to go back to that job. Hey, you make it to heaven as a child of God, you're never going to leave. Amen. Won't that be good? Amen. Amen. My goodness alive, folks, I could tell you a lot today, but I don't have time. Let me tell you something. The Bible says if you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you know who the Holy Spirit is? He's the third member of the Trinity, and He's God. When God saved you, He put His seal on you, His mark on you, His claim on you, and you can't get away. Amen? You can't get away. Do you want to get away? You'd love to do a little sinning and get by, but you don't want to be unsaved, do you? Amen? Brother Chavis is already pulling his hair out over there. Amen? Amen. Yeah, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's got a claim on you. He ain't going to let go. And then in Romans 8:9, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Somebody's already took possession of your temple. You ever think about that? You're walking around, you're shopping down at Walmart's or Lowe's or some of them places, spending all that money you got, and there's somebody living inside of you. His name is Jesus. Jesus is living inside of you, going about where you're going. Amen? Boy, ain't it something, folks, what this old book tells us? Isn't it something what this old book tells us? In 1 Corinthians 12:13, if you've been saved, you've been baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, we were baptized in water, which is symbolic of the death and burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was baptized right down the road there in that little old swamp. People used to go down there every Sunday and Saturdays. There was baptisms going on down there. I can still remember that cold, dark water. Oh, good. It was spooky looking. I was 14. Go out in that old creek. But you know what? We've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ's body, which makes the church. The church is a living organism. It's the body of Christ, and He's the head of the church, and we're part of that, and we're going to be the bride of Christ one day. And so when you're saved, look what an elite group you belong to. By the grace of God, something we didn't deserve, but something God's doing, because He's a good God. He's a good God. And some ignorant someone comes along and then they say, after all these things that I've just shared with you, they come along and say, you can lose your salvation. Churches teach that to their members. You can lose yourself. How can you lose your salvation when you have eternal life? How can you lose your salvation when the Holy Spirit has got you? You see what I'm saying, folks? You got to go by what the book says. And you better check me out, make sure I'm going by the book, as well as every other preacher. How do you lose your salvation, church, when Jesus has already paid for all your sins? You see, he's already paid for them. He didn't pay for some of them. He paid for all of them. They're all paid for. God is now satisfied. And you're his children. Now, how good a child are you is the question. How a child, and in families, you could have, say, four or five children. There might be one that's a little bit rebellious or stubborn or not as easy to work with, but he's still a child of that family. Christians are the same way. Some Christians, they're just more obedient to the Lord than other Christians. They're still Christians. But how is that going to work out? If I'm a Christian and I'm not living like I should, I won't be talking about that. Just hold on. Get another grip on your seat. Amen. Get another grip on your seat. Okay. But what if we sin after we are saved? Ooh. Do Christians sin after they're saved? Ooh. Why did he say if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins? Amen. I don't think I'm going to make this in 30 minutes, brother. Amen. I might sin a little bit. But this is what so many people don't understand, that so-and-so's a Christian, but I seen them doing this. I saw them do. Yeah, we Christians sin. Sometimes we get deceived by the devil. Say something wrong. Do something wrong. We got to be conscious it's possible for me to sin. You might sin in church. That'd be a unholy sin, wouldn't it, in church? Jesus is the Savior, not you and Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus is the Savior, not you and Jesus. You're not keeping yourself safe. Jesus kept you safe. He's already saved you. It's a done deal. You can't get out of it. There's some deals in this life here you can't get out of once you sign the bottom line. But when Jesus saves you, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Jesus paid for all of your sin, and now God is satisfied when we trusted Jesus as our Savior. God put one stipulation: accept my Son as your Savior, and I'll save you. I'll make you my child. You can live with me forever. That's the stipulation. And God can't lie. God won't lie. No. After a person is saved, there's no one who lives a perfect or sinless life. You know anybody that's Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect? No. Thank God we're not going to heaven based on how perfect we live. Amen? Because all of our sin has been paid for one time forever. I'm telling you this message today to help you tell others that's mixed up out there. Every one of us, no matter how spiritual, we sin from time to time. That's why we need to regularly confess our sin. Did you know you even sin when you don't know it? There's sins of ignorance we perform sometimes. They was in the Old Testament. Even you had to bring a sacrifice to the temple and sacrifice that animal for the sins of ignorance. And we're the same way. We sin, don't even know it. Yes. But anytime one sins, you know what happens when you sin? You better listen. Here's what happens when you sin. Let's say right now you're in complete fellowship with the Lord, but when you sin, here's what happens. You just got a little ways from the Lord. You sin again. What's happening? We're backsliding. He's still our Lord. He's still our God, but we're getting further and further from Him because we're not obeying Him. That's backsliding. So how far back have we got? Do we need to come confess our sins and ask the Lord to forgive us? And let us, hey, let's consider this thing as the Christian. That God would save somebody like me, and that I should have a desire to just live for Him, period. Live for Him. Find my joy in Him. Find the delight of my heart in Him. Delight thyself in the Lord, the Bible says. And don't live drifting back from the Lord. It doesn't affect our salvation, but it affects our peace, our joy, and our fellowship with the Lord. And He will seem far away and distant, and prayers may not be answered. And other things may take place too. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self, Jesus, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He healed our soul by dying on a cross and shedding His life's blood. That's why you can't lose your salvation. Your soul has been healed. These old bodies we're living in today, they're just as corrupt and rotten as they've ever been. And just because you make them obey you in serving the Lord, that don't change the fact they're still rotten. They're still sinful. They're still corrupt. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But our soul, he just said right here, by His stripes we were healed. Our souls were healed. We've been healed from the effects of sin that condemned us. And because we believe in Him, we're going to get a new body one day that won't have this problem we struggle with today with sin. And every one of us have it. Every one of us have it. Notice He said He bore our sins, plural. And this is before we were even born. You see, He paid for your sin before you were even born. So after you're saved and you sin, hey, He still has paid for all sin. Y'all follow the picture in the Bible? Sin was paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. All sin. Everybody's sin. Everybody's. Then everybody was invited to come and accept Him. But only the wise ones come and accept Him. Only the one who believes the book comes to accept Him. And then each one of us decide how close I want to walk to Him day by day. You decide how close you want to live for the Lord. I want you to remember that. You're deciding that. And God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. You can walk real close to the Lord. And He can really get real, real if you want Him to be real, real in your life. Yes. Let me say as kindly as I know how, what we do after salvation does not affect our salvation. It affects our spirituality, how spiritual a person I am. It affects how close we are to the Lord. It affects whether we enjoy the Lord. It affects our testimony. Did you know there's a lot of Christians today? I could name some, but I won't. They say they're Christian. You know, they don't even support the church. They don't even go to church. And they could go to church, but they don't. They don't ever send money to do the Lord's work. Yet they claim they're Christian. They just may be. I'm not doubting that. But what does the Bible teach? You're supposed to go to church if you're able. You're supposed to support the Lord's work. If you're able. Folks, it's just shocking what some Christians, how they live as and call themselves Christians. They may be. I'm going to get to the part that explains some of that in just a minute. If Johnny would give me a few more minutes. I'm just on page 3, Johnny, and I got 3 more pages. Of course, I'm only halfway on page 3. It affects if the Lord uses us. Did you know how close you are to the Lord depends on if He can use you or not? What's going on in our lives depends on whether the Lord can use us or not. Do we want to be used? It affects if we receive any rewards. Oh, this is the part I want to rub a little bit. If you want to get any rewards when you get to heaven, it would depend on how you live while you're here. Now, I know there are Christians that don't know no better than to say this. I just want to get to heaven. That's all I want. That's a little bit of ignorance. If God Almighty would let His Son suffer and die on the cross to save your wretched soul, and you have no more gumption than to want just get to heaven. You should be wanting to please the Lord for saving your wretched soul. Because everybody's not going to be saved. Great day in the morning, Lord, help me. Let the Lord use you, church. Not so people talk about what so-and-so's are doing. No, do it when people don't know what you're doing. The reason many Christians are not fully serving the Lord is they'd rather have the crumbs of this life than of the riches of glory. Oh, the people that's so all mixed up, the devil's got them deceived. Listen. The Bible says that we ought to be living to bring honor and glory to the Lord. We should see that the crumbs of this life are nothing. It's emptiness. Solomon told us this. Solomon tried everything there was to try. He even got him 700 wives and 300 concubines, and that weren't enough. Poor soul. Amen. Poor soul. Let me say our sins as believers have been paid for, and we're saved forever. So how we live does not affect our salvation, but how spiritual we are. How spiritual. Many unsaved people think if they live a good life, work hard, take care of their families, surely God will let them go to heaven. No. Salvation not based on what you do. Salvation is based on what Christ did. Jesus did it all, the song says. The Bible says also, Jesus did it all. Why should God allow anyone to heaven when they don't do anything for God or Jesus? You know, a lot of people like to go to heaven. A lot of people think they're going to heaven, but they die and their religion don't get them there. Their good works don't get them there. Their church can't get them there. Nor their preacher can't get them there. The flesh wants to think it does something to get saved or stay saved. That's the flesh nature doing that. And the devil will get behind it and deceives people into that. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 John 2:2, he is the propitiation for our sin. He's our atonement. He atoned for our sin. He paid for our sin. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Anybody in the world can be saved and go to heaven who will believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that. That's what the Bible just said there. Paul said in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Boy, do I want to get out of this evil world. Have you ever seen such an evil world? Hey, the world is falling apart around us. Our own country that was established on Christian principles is falling apart with what's being taught today. Great day in the morning what deceived people. Educated people, folks. Our leaders. This is an evil world. But Paul said, Jesus died for our sins so he could get us out of this evil world. Won't that be something? When we leave this old world, I ain't even going to say bye-bye, are y'all? I'm going to say, hello, Lord. Amen. Hello, Lord. It's me, the country preacher. Amen. Yeah. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8-10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us, the Apostle John wrote. Sometimes for various reasons, a believer can get involved in sin and just keep going further and further and further in sin. But they're not going to get by with their sin. Christians can't get by with their sin. They're saved. But God hates their sin when they ignore him, not faithful and obedient to him. God gives them time to repent. Some he gives more time, it seems, than others, because he knows what he's doing. God is not only giving them time to repent, he's also going to chasten a believer, as my parents used to get hold of me and Junior and others there in the family. Well, I tell you what, my mama was, she believed in the peach tree. Amen. Amen. Boy, she did. What was the good or so bad about the peach tree? You had to go get it yourself. Bring it back to her. And if it wasn't big enough, another trip to the peach tree. I'm serious. My mama was on us young'uns. I tell you, she really was. God may not bless us if we, like he wants to, we got sin in our life He's holding back blessings he could give to you. He wants to give them, but you got things in your life he's not pleased with. You backslid. I believe many people today are saved, but they're miserable Christians. They're miserable. Some of them can't pay their bills. Some of them have got other problems, family problems. Could be a thousand different ways God deals with individuals. But he chastens his children that's not living right. They're not going to get by with their sin, even in this life. They're dishonoring the Lord as they live with sin in their life. Did you know they're causing other people not to get saved because of the way they're living as a Christian? Think about it. You think about how serious it is to be called a Christian, a child of God. Serious, folks. It's serious. We cannot judge people, but God's looking at people's hearts. And God knows what's going on in every life. Why some Christians never go to church? Why don't some ever support God's work? Why are so many Christians God cannot and does not even use? Isn't it pitiful? Children. God's children. You know, I can honestly say this. I always wanted to please my mom and dad. I always wanted to please them. I remember on one occasion, not to boast about it, but just this little example. I don't know where my mama was at. They all might have been gone. But I was at home by myself one day, and it was raining. And you know what I did? I went out in the sucker field and suckered back right by myself. Why? I wanted to surprise Daddy. Sin unto death. 1 John 5:16-17. I hope you've marked this in your Bible. Many believers who drift away from the Lord into sin fail to repent after God gives them time, and then God takes them early from this life. I believe there's a lot of Christians leave early to go home. Why? Sin in their life they won't repent of, bring a dishonor to the Lord. John tells us, if any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. There are some sins that one can commit and God will take them out of this world early. You remember over in the book of Acts chapter 5, there's Peter the apostle and Ananias and Sapphira. They came before Peter. Ananias first came and he lied to Peter about what he'd give of some land he had sold. And because he lied, the Holy Spirit struck him dead right there in the temple. Yes, struck him dead right there. Kind of like our Sunday school lesson, wasn't it, brother? Yes, and they took his body out to bury it. In a little bit, his wife come in. Peter said, old shrewd Peter said, is it so about this land and what you give? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And she was struck dead right there at Peter's feet. Two believers in Christ, but they committed their sin unto death. There's not a particular sin that is a sin unto death. It could be whichever the Lord chooses that one could commit, and God said, that's it. And out that believer goes. This life is serious. Being a Christian is serious. Being a Christian is serious. Now, when this life here is over, we're going to be brought to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be examined, every one of us, individually, by the Lord himself. He's not going to mention the word sin at all. Won't that be great? Sin's not going to come up. Why? Because all of our sin is paid for. So what's coming up at the judgment? What have I done for the Lord while I was here? Since the day I was saved till the day he took me out of this world, how did I live for the Lord? What did I do for the Lord? It's going to be about me. What have I done? It's not going to affect you or you. It's just going to affect me. What I've done. If you get a reward, it's because you earned it. If I get one, it's because I earned it. By the grace of God that we can get a reward in the first place. Some people, their work as a Christian, the Bible says, according to the Bible, their works are going to be burned up. Because as a Christian, they just live for themselves. They just live for themselves. Did what they wanted to do when they wanted. And their works won't stand God's fire. But other Christians, their work will endure the fire of God. And they'll get rewards. Rewards from the Lord for faithful serving. And it all depends on each person. You can do what you want to as a believer. But at the judgment, it'll be determined what you did to honor the Lord. And you can be in heaven for eternity with no rewards. That'd be like being in the army as a private. And other Christians that suffered for the Lord, labored for the Lord, and loved serving the Lord, boy, their robes will be glittering with rewards. Crowns. Folks, let me tell you at the closing today. Are you close to the Lord? Are you satisfied where you're at? Don't you want to get a little bit closer? Amen. Amen. I come home, Faye come home the other day from the hospital, 2 weeks ago Friday. She said, honey, I just want to get home and hug up to you one more time. One time. And on 2 weeks ago, on Friday, after she'd been home, I was in my bed. She was in her bed. About 9:30, I heard some stumbling and bumbling, and I got one eye open. And I could see there was Faye with her walker out in the middle of the hall. And about the time I seen her, the walker went one way and she went the other way. She fell against the wall. Well, I was out of the bed with a leap and a bound like Santa Claus, amen. And I got there and there was my wife in the middle of the hall. I said, honey, why in this world are you up? I wanted to go hug up to you. Now I'm hugging her, trying to get her up off the floor, amen? What a job 110 pound was then, because she was dead weight, folks. Folks, don't you want to be close to the Lord? Don't you want to just live for the Lord? Don't you want to hear the Lord? I think this would be even better than a crown. Just to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Only you and I can do anything about it. And so, let's don't backslide. Let's come forward. Let's draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to us. It's God's promise. Loving God, thank you for letting me stand here one more time, Lord. Lord, bless our congregation. Challenge hearts. Let's help none of us to be satisfied where we're at spiritually. Let's be faithful in praying for one another, praying for the needs of others, and living a life to honor our God. And said to the Lord, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord, wherever you want, Lord. I just surrender my life to you, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Savior that took the sins of the world upon himself, that whoever would believe in him could have everlasting life. And I thank you that salvation is by faith in the one that took our place and paid our debt. I praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today, I invite you to the altar. Come praise the Lord. Come seek the face of the Lord. Come draw nigh to the Lord.